welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, we want to take a moment to pause, reflect, and make some very informed decisions about how we will support our young people and help them to grow into productive citizens, mature, well-balanced individuals, and of course, being the leaders that we want them all to be, in charge of themselves and giving support to others. And to help me discuss this today is Deborah Francis, the coordinator of Seasons for Growth, a new program to Barbados and I dare say the Caribbean. So we will have a little chat. Welcome to the program, Debbie.
Good morning, Yudalee Wickham. Good morning to the listeners of Visions. And thank you for inviting me along to speak about Seasons for Growth.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I really am looking forward to this conversation because I am very passionate about young people really developing to be the best that they can be and being balanced and helpful and generous and all the other good values that we want to share with others. So, Debbie, tell us a bit more about Seasons for Growth and why you thought it important to bring this program to Barbados.
Okay, Seasons for Growth started back in 1996. It started in New Zealand and it's across several continents. But I worked for the program in the UK several years ago, and I saw the benefits that the children were getting from it for those who were going through grief and loss. And the grief and loss doesn't necessarily have to come through death. It could be incarceration of the parent. It could be through divorce, separation. It could be through a child that's had to leave a country to go to another country, or sometimes they've moved from one area to another, and the loss has been huge. When we had lockdown during COVID, I was wondering what I could do to assist the children. And I remembered, obviously, having worked on this before, I applied to bring it to Barbados. I had a daycare and we're helping the younger children, but we're not necessarily giving the opportunity to older children to be able to talk about the grief and loss that they've been going through and just assuming that they can get on with it, because oftentimes that's what we did ourselves when we were growing up.
Okay, great. Your point there is very valid for persons a bit older than the children now, the teenagers and young adults. You know, they would have had to more or less face whatever the situation was, either on their own or very limited support. So I really appreciate your initiative in bringing this program to Barbados. So can you break down a bit more in terms of what are some of the key areas the program will, you know, work with the children?
Okay, first of all, I must say that we're not counselors. It's more psychoeducation. It's a type of therapy rather than a specific form of education which helps people to learn more about specifics of an event. We actually bring the children together in groups of no more than 8 children per session. And the children will come together and recognize that they're not isolated. So with peer support, it's more finding an affiliation within an equal relationship and encouraging the children to talk about what they've been going through. And it's actually helped them with their problem-solving skills, their confidence, decision-making, and also the consequences of their behavior. Because oftentimes, you're angry, you're frustrated, and some of the negative emotions that you've been going through, they will oftentimes turn to anger and aggression. And this spills out into the classroom. Teachers have to then manage that as well as teach. It spills out into aggression within the home. Parents then have to deal with that. The children will then get into trouble for their behavior, but actually it's only as a result of what they've been going through. And so we teach them about consequences and decision-making, as I said, and self-value, making good choices and setting realistic goals. And so we strip it right down and they come along together recognizing that they do have other opportunities to do things and do them different. it takes a lot of self-reflection for somebody to work with children in this field, because more often than not, you yourself as a companion, which is what we're known as, you yourself may well have actually gone through this in terms of grief and loss, and it wasn't addressed because we just didn't. Oftentimes you'll find a child wants to talk to mum about the fact that dad's not there, but she can't, or she can't raise that subject for fear of upsetting mum or making mum cry, or the fact that somebody that they love has actually been incarcerated. And there's so much taboo surrounding that, that you feel afraid of actually raising that. And so you keep it all inside. You become an adult, it spills out then. And if you don't talk it out,
yes, I quite agree with what you're saying. So Debbie, can you speak a bit more about how do we as adults, parents, grandparents, guardians, help our children and teenagers especially to value themselves? What does that look like? How can we really provide support in this area?
One of the things that we have to do, which even myself as a parent, you sometimes forget to listen to what your children want to say. And we need to encourage them to say what they want to say and respect what it is that they have said. In terms of valuing themselves, they need to, that we help them to recognize that their opinion is valued and what they've had to say is valued. We will often give instructions. We'll often tell people almost what to think, because the fact that a child has come to you and disclosed something and said how they're feeling about something, we're all quite guilty of saying, well, why are you saying that? I've got no idea what you're talking about. Go to your room or go outside. And we cut them off. We cut them short. And so they eventually stop talking about how they feel and they don't feel valued. And there's no point in talking about anything, because we'll always hear children saying, what's the point in saying anything? What's the point in telling? Because nobody's going to listen. And so they don't feel valued. They just go along like a lemming, following all the others, doing what they've been told to do without anybody listening to their opinion. Sometimes their opinion might hurt us. Sometimes what they think might hurt us. But the fact is, it's the child's opinion. And we can help them and encourage them and assist them in understanding why they feel the way they do and how they feel the way that they do and how we can help them to improve it. But sometimes their opinion helps us to improve ourselves. And that's what we really need to look at as well.
Yes, very important point. Very, very important. So Debbie, you shared with us that you worked with this program in the UK. And I know that in the UK and other countries, great attention is paid to the recruitment of persons who work with children. I know that the social work and other helping professions, there's like a psychological check, there's a police certificate of character background check type, you know, those type of things are done for the Seasons for Growth program. Is that also extended?
Absolutely. Yes, you're quite right. You do have to have a police check. You also have to have an evaluation, and you're also trained. There's training that takes place. Now, because Seasons for Growth, we are conducting it at the moment on Saturdays and after schools. But persons who are working within Seasons of Growth must already be employed. And ideally, you would have worked with children, because for the training, we're teaching you how to deliver the program, but you should already know how to work with children. It's going to be very difficult to get somebody who's never worked with children to deliver this program and have the amount of empathy that it's going to require to work with children, to even be a companion for the program. That being said, we need to train more people to deliver the program. And at the moment, we are recruiting more people to do it, because I can't do it on my own. There are a few people who have been trained to do it. But the more people who can do it is the better for the young people, because ideally, we should be able to have a companion working within each school. Whilst we've got the guidance counsellors, and they do a sterling job, a fantastic job, peer group education is also vitally important, and there's no reason why a school counsellor can't actually deliver this programme also. People who are social workers, teachers, work within the clergy, Sunday school teachers, there's no reason why they can't deliver the programme as well, because the more that can do it, it's the more help we can give to the children. because originally, as I said, they're only working in groups of eight. And each session, although it's only for an hour, if you do three of those sessions in a day and you work 4 days a week, that's 72 children. It's only 72 children that you're working with. So the more that can do it, is the better for the children.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I quite agree with that point, because we really need to reach our young people who have been experiencing all types of trauma within recent years, and primarily due to COVID-19. And then we have the other issues that may be presenting in the families. So yes, I do see the need for a program like this. And I know you would have executed a program prior to our conversation. Now, how was that initial program for you? What were the results like?
I was thrilled with the program that I've just completed, and it went very well indeed. But I will tell you, when it first started, when the children came in, of course, they hadn't seen or been around other children for some time because schools had closed. And due to COVID, there were no sporting activities or anything like that. And for all of them, they all said the same thing. They haven't got any friends. They haven't got anybody to talk to. And that broke my heart, because they said they had online school, but when they closed their tablets or their laptops, there wasn't anybody. None of us had ever lived through anything like a pandemic before. But it brought it all home to me, because as adults, we felt the isolation, we felt the loneliness, but we forgot that the children were feeling the same things too. We might see them playing games on their tablets, and we might see them watching television, and they'll be laughing at cartoons and whatever. But inside, they're feeling the same things we are. And all of the children had said they're worried about their families, they're worried about their parents, they're worried about their brothers and sisters possibly catching COVID. They've been looking at the death and destruction on the television, and they've been taking it all in. And some of them cry. And I thought, wow, when I did the program in the UK, of course, there wasn't a pandemic. For many of the children, there had obviously been losses and things like that. But I found a different set of emotions had come into play with this, and it really needs to be addressed. One of the other things, if I could say, is that we're trying to work with sporting facilities, sporting clubs and groups, whereby we're encouraging children to take up sport, because remember, they haven't been able to do it because of lockdown, because of COVID. And so we're working with them so that we can encourage children to join different sporting groups and clubs like badminton, squash, football, and whatever, singing, dancing, and drama. So we want to work with those clubs so that referrals to the program will then be encouraged to join these different activities, so that they've got something new and fresh to do and continue making friends, making the right choices, and continuing with their lives, because they're starting again, really.
Okay. In Seasons for Growth, you mentioned that the program helps, through peer support, the children discuss issues or their own emotions on how various life situations have been affecting and impacting them. Have you noticed whether it was easy or difficult for the children to communicate their feelings?
It wasn't easy at all. And since doing this program, in all the years I've been doing it, it's never been easy for any of them. Because remember that when things happen at home, you've been taught not to go out and talk out your business and not to talk about what happens at home. And so there's always going to be that reluctance, and there's always been that fear of showing your emotions to people that you don't know. And so in the first session, there's very little talk about what they've been going through. All it takes is one child to start, or some of the activities that we do, because each child is given a journal. And there's resources. The whole program is broken down into doing different things every single session. And you might be in the middle of doing something, and a child will suddenly come out and start talking about what they were going through. And then others will chirp in and say, but you know, I went through that. I didn't realize. I thought I was the only person. They just felt so isolated in what they were going through. But when they do start talking, when they do start bringing out their emotions and talking about their losses, then everybody invariably starts talking about theirs, and it makes it easier. And every session they will talk about what they've been experiencing, and it makes it easier and easier for them to talk about.
And how do you handle the whole topic of confidentiality? Because that's another big area where children will say, I'm not sharing because you will not keep it confidential. You will not keep it to yourself. You will share it and discuss it with others.
Yes, confidentiality is huge because if you break their trust, they won't talk about it with you again. We will hold what the children say in confidence unless it's a child protection issue. If it becomes a child protection issue, obviously there's a different route that we take for that. And we do let them know if somebody's hurting you or touching you in any way and things that you're not comfortable with, we will have to share that. And they all understand that. But when we have the groups of children, we always stick with the same group. They're what we call closed sessions. Only those 8 children or those 5 children are together for that group. We don't mix them up. We don't shunt them across to another group. You're always with the same people that you were with the week before. It's the same way every single week. We have a list of, I won't call them rules, but a set of guidelines. And the children help to add to those guidelines of what's acceptable and what is not acceptable. And so you have to build up confidence and they have to build up trust in you. That information isn't going to be given to anybody else. Even when we speak to the parents about how the child is doing, there's certain things that we're not going to tell the parents because it's the child's feelings and what they're going through themselves. Again, as I said, unless it becomes a child protection issue.
Okay, wonderful. And I think that is important to reinforce that adults can be trusted with the information shared. And it also speaks well to the professionalism of what we are doing in working with persons, you know, that they can see your information is safe unless the information you share is going to harm yourself or harm others. Then that information will have to be dealt with to protect the individuals.
Could I just add also is that we do surveys as well. Surveys are conducted and the surveys are carried out with the children, with the parents also, because, you know, you're not just handing over your child and after an hour you collect them and then nothing more is said or done. Surveys are conducted with the parents and these are all keyed in and they're kept, we keep a tab on them so that we can then build up a general picture as to how the sessions are going, how they've been going and things like that. And as I said, each child is given a journal. And as they complete their journal, they get that to keep. And they can look back on that and reflect. After the session 9, we then contact them again and we meet up with them again on 2 other occasions later down in the year, just to see how they've been doing and how they've managed to use the tools that we've given them to get through their coping skills.
Great. So, Debbie, we've heard a lot about seasons for growth. How can persons reach you if they're interested in having their child participate in this program?
Well, I'd be delighted for that. And also for those who would like to also join with Training for Seasons for Growth. But I could be contacted on 268-2085 or 285-6951 or the landline, which is 624-5335. We also have an email address. You can email us on seasonsforgrowthbb@gmail.com. And we have a Facebook and Instagram page, Season Growth Barbados on Facebook and Seasons.
Excellent, excellent.
Instagram.
Okay, so Debbie, we have talked about Seasons for Growth and your involvement, your role in bringing this delightful program to Barbados. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, you know, who you are and your involvement in working with children? Because earlier you mentioned that you owned a nursery. So share with us a bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I have always worked with children. I was a secretary for about 25 years. I realized I wanted to work with younger persons when a young girl tried to commit suicide. And once I'd, you know, managed to stop her and dealt with that, and I thought, oh, the adults have got wants and the children have got needs. And it was literally that day that I decided, you know what, I need to turn things around. I started training, working with young people and worked with children who had been in the care system and in the UK. And then I wanted to work with younger children. I trained again and started working at a primary school, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I continued working there until I left the UK many years later and came to Barbados and started a daycare. That was 11 years ago. And so my vocation in life is working with children and helping them, giving back, because my childhood was not, it was slightly unorthodox, but I wanted to give back. I really need to give back, because the young people are going to be the adults of tomorrow. And I think if we want to have a good old age, we need to make sure that these youngsters are coming up with some of the things that we had that were available to us, which is a good conscience, although not all accepted that one, and self-motivation. We need to turn things around for them.
I'm so happy to hear you share that thought, because it's important that as older adults, we look to provide support, mentorship to the younger people to help them also understand themselves and develop and strengthen their own set of values, you know? So that, yes, that's very critical. And I must say thank you very much for all the fantastic work that you've been doing with children, because even with your nursery, you are providing a very supportive environment for the toddlers and young infants to really build and create their own identity. And that's vital as we look to strengthen our young people to give back to our society and really help our society to be one that is fair, generous, and supportive to every citizen, and allowing, you know, all of us to exercise that right to live in harmony.
Could I add, lastly, if you don't mind, that so many people, so many adults seem to have the notion that if you don't have the qualifications, you can't help a child. But if we actually think about it, for all of us who are parents, and for those who are fantastic aunties and uncles and don't have children of their own, we all have the same qualification, which is raising our own children. And that's really what it takes. So please don't let your qualifications deter you, or even your lack of qualifications deter you from doing a good job in raising children and helping them. There's obviously going to be a few people out there who have a different agenda, and one that we won't go into right now, but whatever it takes, if you can help the children, you don't have to join Seasons for Growth. It doesn't have to be a psychoeducation program or anything like that. But give them some good advice. Don't keep dragging them down, because all the children are doing is giving back what they've seen, and what they've seen is from adults. And if we don't want that, we don't give it to them.
Okay, so just repeat your numbers again, Debbie, in terms of how can persons reach you either to train to be part of the Seasons for Growth program as a companion, or for their children or wards to participate in the actual program.
Okay, the numbers again are 268-2085-285-6951 or 624-5335. They're the numbers to contact us on. We are operating from some of the community centres, and that's where the Seasons for Growth programme will be taking place, within the community centres.
Excellent, excellent. And do you have a website or Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page, and Facebook and Instagram, Seasons for Growth Barbados, and email is seasonsforgrowthbb@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you very much, Debbie, for coming and sharing with us about this program and how it can benefit our youth, our children. And I want to urge and encourage parents, guardians, friends, relatives to consider your children and encourage them to be a part of this program. So I want to say thank you yet again, Deborah Francis, for sharing with us.
Thank you for a wonderful opportunity. I really appreciate it. And take care. And God bless to all of you and the children.
Thank you very much. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest today, Deborah Francis, Coordinator for Seasons for Growth. You can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 via email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes by going to the bob929.com website, and you'll be able to listen to this. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.